Yeah, Lord, we thank you. We love you in this place. Yeah, we love you. We love you in this house. And we're going to express our gratitude to you right now, God. We thank you for your mighty touch in this space. Let every breath praise ye the Lord. We are enamored by you. We are enamored the way you move. There is no one like you, God, in all of the earth. You are not to be compared to not a president of the United States of America or any prime minister of any country. No other king, but you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one is like you, God. No one can even compare to who you are. There's not an idol in this earth that passed on or still current that could compare to you. May your name be hallowed in this place. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Woo, God, I love you. Deliver us from evil. I love this one here. Deliver us from evil. Oh yeah, I love this right here. Can I stop right here? Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from people. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from ourselves. Shata Moseke. Deliver us. Oh Lord, says, thank you, Lord. Oh, he's amazing. I don't know about you, but I sense a sweet spirit in this place. Those of you who are on Zoom, tap in. The anointing does not hide. God Almighty. The anointing has no limitations. He can penetrate all in your household. If you're driving, he can penetrate in that vehicle. Oh, God Almighty. If you at work, he could penetrate in the employment, wherever you are. I don't care what space you're in. You might be in the living room. You might be on the sofa. The Lord can transform himself into your midst.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Can I tell you, hallelujah, it's a universal language. If you and I say hallelujah from every city we represent today, the Lord hears it in a universal worship. And he can come into your midst, slide his way through your door the same way he did when he got up on the third day. He came into the midst. He didn't ask to be open. The door wasn't open. He just went in. So that tells me this invisible Christ named Jesus was able to slip his way through. Watch this, because he was invited. Nobody, if you're a thief or a robber, you ain't gonna wait for no invitation. You're gonna bust your way in because you don't have no respect of authority. But when you have an understanding of law and respect, he already made a promise to them, so I'm not quite sure if he was standing on his promises, but I believe they were gathering in that room. I believe it was Thomas Didymus who was the one that says, I won't believe until I can stick my finger in his side. And I believe the Lord says, I heard you, Thomas. Come on over here, stick your finger in my side. He says, never mind, never mind. I believe. He says, yeah, but bless those who have not yet seen me believe. You have seen me, and only because you believe. I want to know, do DCM only believe because they see him? Or do you believe him because you know who he is? My God. I love to come into an atmosphere where the Lord is invited. That I'm not the only one who's willing to invite him. You know, I bless the Lord for this house. I came in here and I sensed something. I said, Lord, you're amazing. Oh my God, Minister Lewis, man. Oh Lord, have mercy. You see why you got to keep pushing? You see, when an enemy knows you have something special on your life, he's going to fight you nail and tooth. And he's going to do it with an object. And so we got to fight him every way possible because he's trying to suppress what's in you by using worldly activity. But if I can get some dignified folk who don't mind thinking of a woman and pressing her way through birth. He never did say that having children was going to be easy. He said, in fact, the woman would travail. But he says, after she finished, she would be in such a glorious moment. She won't even remember the pain because she's looking at the joy. Oh, God. What am I saying? It's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Yes. And when you sing, that's when you get your most joy. Yes. Oh, God. And so if you feel yourself fighting nail and tooth, you start singing to the Lord. Because your battle is in you. And look, you can press your way through when you start hummering songs that don't make any sense. What's the scripture says? The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but is mighty through God. To what? To the pulling down of the strongholds. Oh, man, come on now. And so what we have going on is strongholds, but we're doing it through him. Same goes for you, Doc. When you got a worship in you, you got to use that on the battlefield. Because like the children of Israel last week when I mentioned how they cried, Moses is like, don't be crying to me. Use what's in your hand. Isn't that what he said? He said, use what's in your hand, Moses. What did I provide you with when I first encountered you on the back of Mount Sinai or the back of the desert? I gave you a rod. That rod was to be able to combat everything Pharaoh did. And the very last thing is when they got to a place, they couldn't go no further. He said, split it. Oh, man, Lord, have mercy. What I'm trying to tell you, your rod is your worship. Your rod is your worship. You got to use what's in you. That is your weapon. Jesus, man. And if you are a minister who can't sing, then you use that weapon. All of our weapons are different. But once you find out what you have, it's game time. I believe the devil gonna keep picking with you until you find out what you have. Look, let's give the devil a little bit of credit because he does help you press your way in. Because if he doesn't bother you, then you won't do nothing about it. But if he keeps afflicting you, you're gonna find a way to come back at him. What do you have in your hand? Because you need to use it. Oh, man, let me get it here. Listen, can I say us a little something? It's okay with medication, but that is not my weapon. Yeah, look here. Look, I know the doctors prescribe certain medication for certain ailments, but that is not the weapon. The weapon is not in the medication. It's in the word. But if I don't dig into this word, how can I use my weapon? But if you keep murmuring and crying and complaining, you ain't using no weapon. The Lord frowns upon complainers and murmurers. In fact, that's what delayed them from getting into the promises of God. Because I believe every year they did what they did, it just delayed 40 years. All they did was put themselves in a position not to win. But they had every necessary tool to be victorious in their matter. He put leadership in front of them. They saw the 9 to 10 plagues. Look, the firstborn of Pharaoh died because he tried God. Man, listen. You listen, I don't care. You might respect North Korea, South Korea, Russia, United States, and they're all powerful countries. But they're not compared to God and his army. Not one.
Thank you.
Could put Ukraine, you could put Russia, North, South Korea, United States. If they was to join forces against the heavenly host, do you know they can't stand a chance?
Hallelujah. Lord.
All God got to do is breathe, and it's over. Let me tell you something. All he's got to do is breathe through you. Look, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. All he did was blow on them. Fresh wind. And what happened when they got the fresh wind? They began to speak in an unknown tongue, a language that was not even heard of. Oh, man, look, man. And then they began to praise God. What happened was they did it in unison. You know, Jesus, we focus on the instructions he gave him. He says, go in the upper room. Just wait. Just wait. They probably didn't know how long they had to wait. But he said, wait. It was 40 days that he stuck around the earth for a little bit, but he did it in an invisible way. Then it was 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And the Bible says he came like a mighty rushing wind, to the point that they began to speak in his own known tongues, like fire, clovens of fire. Let me tell you something. All of us have our own unique language. Same way goes for your weapon. Once you find out your language, it's over. It's game time. You just need to be able to listen to the instructions given to you. They got together in one upper room. Every last one got filled. So that means none of us should be lacking because he already filled you. No. You got to hear me. I'm going to shift a little bit here. I thought I was going on. I got to stay here just for a moment. I'm telling you, somebody who feel like you're lacking, you can't be if you got the Holy Spirit in you. He already filled the disciples. What are you doing here? He must have filled you. Why are you in here? I can see if you was dead and we have to mourn over you, but you got something in you. The Holy Spirit gave you wind, fresh wind. He is breathing in you right now. So if you lacking of any sort, you got to know the Holy Spirit already filled you. So that means we're not lacking no more. If he already filled, now I get it. If you wasn't filled, then you're lacking. People who struggle the most, listen, I give the devil credit to a certain degree. I said this before. But if he's afflicting you, if he's pushing you, you got to know something must be in you for what he wants. You got to find out what is in me that the devil wants so bad. He don't want your Ralph Lauren. He doesn't want your Air Jordans. He doesn't want any of those things. He don't want none of those things. He could care less about them. He wants that gift that God placed on the inside of you. He wants to make sure that you're not going to be a threat to his kingdom. Because once you find out who you are, man, he has just lost a teammate. He was depending on you until you got saved. Mm. God Almighty. He's like, oh, I got her. I got him. Long as I could keep them in the club. And doing the wobble, shake and the wobble. As long as I could keep them doing that. And shaking those hips. I got them. I got them. But you had the audacity to get saved.
Hallelujah.
And then you had the audacity to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. You was up in that club all night long, my God. I believe there were some people who used to do it. They did it religiously, and then they would show up for church. But one day, church got them. One day, the Lord says, I know you was up in that club with those fingertips, shaking those hips with your stilettos and pumps on. But one day, I am going to grab hold of your heart. When I do, you ain't going to go back no more. But if you do go back, you're not going to look the same no more. That's why the Lord had to allow you to get all that sin up out of you. He didn't want to call you so quickly. He wanted you to sin till you couldn't sin no more. Because the devil thought he was winning by letting you sin. God says, no, I'm letting this sin work for my good. Because once they get tired of sinning, they're going to come to the right team. And I'm going to allow them to be used for my glory. Jesus. He lets you go ahead and shake those hips. He lets you go ahead and lay up in that man's bed. He lets you go ahead and do that. He know. He wanted you to go ahead. He says, go ahead. You think you're ministering in that way, but I'm going to show you how you're going to minister. He let you drink all the absolute you wanted with the lime. He let you drink all the cognac. He let you drink all the Coke 45. He let you drink all the E&J and Toledo. He let you drink the Cavassier. He let you did all of that. Because he says, when I get this new wine in you, you won't ever be the same ever again. But what I want to do is I want to make a comparison. I want you to taste all the worlds of the sin. The rudiments of it. I want you to have all of it, all of it, all of it. So when you're done with it, you won't want to go back no more. And the reason why some of you still struggling because you ain't finished sinning. You ain't hit rock bottom yet. Oh, yeah, I know, because some people was like, I don't feel safe. I don't feel holy, holy, because he ain't finished with you yet. You still transitioning. Oh, yeah, so some people who come to church after they just came out from the 4-hour, 4 a.m. club, going into the Waffle House, and they had their little order. He knows. He said, I'm going to let you keep doing it. I'm going to let you keep showing up at the strip clubs, giving your little money to the skirts. I'm going to let you keep doing that. Because I want to make sure when I get hold of you, you won't return again. So go ahead, sin. Sin all you need to sin. Because God should not be mocked. What a man sow, he shall reap. I'm going to tell you something. For some of you who was wrapped up in those type of settings, he's going to let you go back up in there. But they're not going to see you the same way no more. They're going to see you a whole nother change. In fact, I believe the DJ is going to have to stop playing his music when you walk up in there, because something is going to take place. See, you need that kind of an anointing that you're not afraid to go into the places that you used to come from. I'm telling you, I told some people last time, don't just go back to get among them. You be of the world. You in it, but be among it. Don't be among it. Don't be. In other words, you are in the world, but don't be a part of it. God wants some movers and shakers. He wants people with an anointing that's on a cutting edge. If I had a sword, you can hear that. He don't want just anybody. Because see, any church won't do. You even need a kind of a pastor that have a certain level of anointing that could cut his way through some stuff. You know why? Some pastors, they won't tell you all of what they've been through, but they had dabbled in some stuff. They dabbled in it. They dabbled in it, but it wasn't the dominary sin. He says, I just want you to be intimately acquainted with that so you don't look down on anybody. You may not be a drinker, but go ahead and taste this. Taste the E&J. Go ahead and taste the Cavassier. Go ahead. I want you to splurge in it. God Almighty. Because most of our urban community, we look at videos. They are the picture of what we want to be when we pop the champagne at the table. Come on now. Don't get all loose with me. You all know you've been somewhere. So we saw that, and we wanted to mimic that. What does that look like? I tell you what, man, I'll never forget. I was in the club right before I got saved, truly. Oh, yes, I'll never forget that night. I don't know if he's there. Sometimes he occasionally come in on with us, but he could tell you. We were up in there after midnight.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, I believe we were dating at that time. Yeah, we were. We were, but I was in a different space. Yeah, boy. I can remember that. You think Pastor celebrating? Yeah, I was celebrating at that time because that's what I love to do at that moment. Man, I'm telling you, we were up in there. I think the club was in Jefferson Davis, Richmond, Virginia. Chelsea, you understand what I mean? We were all up in there. I remember it was about a week later, the Lord says, oh, yeah, I got all I need out of you, son. Come August 20th, 2003, you will never be the same. And so my friend at the time, he thought he lost the best friend. No, man, I just had to change. He says, then what I'm going to do? I don't know what you're going to do, but I know what I need to do.
Hallelujah.
He'll let you sin, though. He's going to let you sin. He's going to keep letting. If you got any battles going on in your life, can I get free? Because I know some people, they want to be so churchy. They don't feel like the church can talk about when you used to be on alcohol and drugs and you was addicted and you had a demon, a part of you. People don't want to talk about that. But if you was a fornicator, you had some sort of sexual demon in you. You're looking at one. And so the thing about it is, listen. One of the areas, see, that's why every person, even though you got to look at this now, sometimes you got to be careful with your gift. It could be used against you if it ain't working for you. And so you have some, that's why pastors got to be very careful because they have a charisma anointing. They know how to maneuver in certain things. So that's why pastors got to be very careful because it could be used against you. You think the devil don't want you to go ahead and start mingling with the women in the church? Because he know you got that anointing on you. So he knows if he could have spoiled one, it could start spoiling everybody. That's why we need some holy pastors. We need some real holy pastors who would not sleep with the deacon's wife. People who will start looking at their daughters as daughters and not for bedroom pleasures. So you got to let it get all out of you. And some of you still struggling in some of the things that you're struggling. Don't you think he know it? Just keep pressing your way in. Because one day when it gets hold of you, you ain't going to want it no more. You know when you deliver when you don't have no desire. Every now and then you might struggle and the temptation may rise up. Because let me tell you something about temptation, young man. When temptation starts coming heightening in your life, that means God is getting ready to do something. When you don't know where else to go and you're trying to figure out and you're ready to quit, God says, I already got something in store for you. Don't quit now. Because what's in you is more than meets the eye. Jesus, man. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Do I have some ex-drug dealers? Do I have some ex-fornicators in here? Dude, come. Listen. Then you ought to minister to the ones who are struggling in fornication. There's no time to be looking at them. It's time to call it, baby girl, you don't know what you have in you. You got a package that can't be denied.
Hallelujah.
We got to learn to stop being so churchy and strip it off, man. We all know we had a taste of the clubs. Some of us was on some weed. Some of us taste a little bit of cocaine. Some of us are still drinking and still struggling with it. But let that be your ministry. Because I can't necessarily minister to someone who's on alcohol, but one of you can.
Yes.
If we were to go out in them streets, somebody can meet that need. I don't have to have all of the anointing. I just need some of it. But here's the body. The body needs to understand we work better together.
Yes.
That's why we need to evangelize.
Yes.
We can't just keep sitting up in here. With this anointing in this house, we are dangerous. Oh, I'm too busy. Pastor, no, you weren't too busy when you was out there in that woman in that man's bedroom, were you? Were you too busy when you sipped that little bit? Were you too busy then? No. What God spared you so you could go out into the highways and byways and bring those people into the house, because they don't believe church people are really church people, but they need to see somebody who's got some kind of order of some sort of ex-fornication. Oh, that's what you struggle with? My God, I thought the church folk don't talk about that. Yeah. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about that. We need to discuss those things. We need to discuss people struggling with fornication and people struggling with alcohol. We need to discuss these things. Yes. We can't keep covering it up. Yes. We need to get a plan together, and we need to learn. We got to get some strategy together, go out and evangelize. Hallelujah. It's that time.
Yes.
It's time.
Hallelujah.
It's time to evangelize this city. We need to be one mind, one set, and we go to a particular location. In fact, Minister Cassie brought to my attention, it's something I kind of thought about. I was like, okay, she said, we need to put a tent right here on this new property.
Yes.
Why would we need a permit? It's ours.
Yes.
So if you go ahead and put a tent out there, now we can go ahead and have service. Outside of what we do here. Don't say, oh, can we replace it? No, don't get lazy on me. No, this is additional.
Amen.
Because you don't know who's going to be listening in that area who will come over and sit among you.
Amen.
You really want to work your anointing? I told some people like last Wednesday, sometimes your anointing won't come to its full height until you're out in the highways and byways. Let me say it a different way, until you're in the streets. So we need to get that set up real quickly. We're going to get that property cleaned up, and we're going to take a unit. We're going to get together and get that property cleaned up. We're not going to just one person, no. We're going to get this together, and we're going to have ourselves a tent service. Get ourselves a generator, get whatever we need. It's time to park the vehicle.
Hallelujah.
Outside of our regular scheduled service. I'm talking about leaving here and going over there. Are you ready for that kind of? Are you ready? Are you ready for that type of sacrifices? Based on whatever God put you through, allow you to go through, you shouldn't have no problem with it. Because you know what it was to be wrapped up in that man's sheets. You know what it was to be wrapped up in that woman's sheet. You know what it was. And you know what it took to get what they call it, soul ties, and you kept going back and you said, Lord, please deliver me from this man. I can't figure out, I don't know why I can't get delivered, but he got something on me. God, I'm hurting here. God, if you could just deliver me, I'll be your spokesperson. Well, here you go. We need some people who've been on crack cocaine. We don't need everybody all fancy. Because those people in the street, certainly not fancy. But something in them is fancy. So we play church so much that all we care about is building each other up. Can we get ready? Can we get ready to put on our full armor of God? Can we get ready to put on our shoes shod with the gospel of peace? Can we go out there with the sword of spirit? Bring our equipment out there. Yeah, God want to return on his investment on all, not just in here. He wanted out there. We got all the tools we need. God gave us $6,000 to be able to, come on now. Look, if he allowed us to get this here, why would he not allow us to get a soul in that place?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We ain't where we need to be. But God is going to call us right now. Listen, you have a pastor who been on a mission field, who understand people. You had a pastor who went into the city jails. I didn't care. I went up in there and spoke with those inmates, hundreds of them at a time. And they gave their life to the Lord. You talking to a pastor who had a hole in his shoe, that city jail pavement was so hard, I can feel the pressure under my shoe. You're talking to a pastor who the Lord spoke to me on one Wednesday and said, I need to go to the city jail. I thought the Lord was losing his mind. Especially, I ain't never been in the jail. Just because you never been don't mean you can't go. But if I could be transparent for a moment, because I think somebody need to hear this. I could have been in there for a child support case. Yeah, it's just get free. Just get free. And because I was facing a court date, God, the Lord, he going to get me here. Jesus. Never forget. That amount was not little. And so I had to go to court because of the situation. My life was on the line. The minimum is 1 year. And so I remember the court date. It was somewhere around the July month. I can't remember the year, but it'll come to me in a second. It's not the point. I had a court-appointed attorney. So he calls me, and he says, they pushed the court date back to September. I said, now I got to have more faith. I thought I was being able to get my faith for July. Now I got 3 more months to think about where my destiny is going to end. So I remember I was in Wednesday night service. It's okay to be in Wednesday night service, you know. I was in Wednesday night service. And the Lord said, you need to go to the city jail. I thought the Lord was losing his mind. And so I remember protocol. The overseer over the city jail at the time. I said, I understand that you are the person that I need to come see. He said, yeah, I hear you. But you know, it's a lot of politics and red tape. It's not going to be an easy task to get you up in there. I said, I don't know what you got to do, but I need to get up in there. And so he said, well, it takes weeks, months, and months to get you in there. You got to go through a lot of red tape. He comes back to me the following week. He said, man, I don't know what's going on, but we're able to get you in there in 2 weeks. Hallelujah. When the Lord got assignment for you, he'll remove policies and procedures. Oh, shucks, man. And so I go up in there. He told me, he says, look, man, you know, this is a tough place to minister. I've seen him on the side. I'm sitting on the side, and I've seen all these men, I mean, go far deep. He's preaching, and he's doing this. I ain't seen no movement. I ain't being disrespectful. Nothing was happening. And so he was like, listen, I'm bringing another person in here. You guys just kind of be open to him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever, and I get behind there, and I remember, and I said, y'all, I just need y'all to worship. Lord, I'll never forget it. Man, I'm going to tell you, when seconds went by, I seen tears rolling down these men's faces. Oh, gosh. And so after I gave the word, and I can't remember what word I gave, but I tell you what, man, I believe they came from the back of the cafeteria, brought their souls to Jesus right then on the spot. I had some men with gray hair, full of gray hair, said if my grandmother was still here, they would be proud that I'm giving my life to Christ. After I got done, I remember that minister said to me, he said, I've never seen these men worship ever, and I've been here for years. Jesus. You know why? Because of when God sends you somewhere, stuff shifts. What I'm trying to say to you, when you go back to those clubs, the places you used to be in, stuff got to change. So the Lord had me go into the city jail prematurely. What he was doing was, you're not going in here to stay, son. What I do need you to do is when you go up in there, I need you to walk around that place. I went in there prematurely before court date. I walked around that space. I walked around that place. And I just began to do whatever I was doing like I'm doing right now. Ain't nothing new that I've been doing. So the Lord was prematurely. He says, you're not going here to stay, but you're going to go ahead and minister. I remember when that court date came. I don't know, man. I felt like my court-appointed attorney was like Johnny Cochran. He said some words, whatever he said. I'm telling you, that judge was like, there's no way we're going to let you go free. We're just going to let you pay a little bit different here. I'm telling you something. And my person, y'all know, oh, my gosh. Man, Lord, that's why you got to have forgiveness. Because the person really didn't care about the money. They just wanted me locked up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't care about that. They wanted me to suffer.
Yeah.
You ever heard anybody wanted you to suffer?
Yes, sir.
Just because? Man, I can feel her when I was walking out that court. It was amazing because it was some people that was coming in. Rev, what's up, Rev? How you doing? Now I'm a minister now. I can feel her walking behind me. She probably said, I'll be dog. How did he get out of this? When God got something on your life, certain places you just can't stay in. And I remember telling you, and I'm kind of breaking up on some dates, but I remember telling you the very day of my court date, I went into a 5 a.m. prayer, sort of similar to what we do now for some of you who can't get up and get into 3 a.m. for whatever your reasons are, when you know God been good to you, but you find every good and reason why you can't get your snot out of your nose and the coal out of your eyes and sacrifice before the Lord and get before him 3 a.m. and bombard heaven on you like you so cute and good. So I got up, I remember, and I had to drive. Y'all got it lucky because y'all get to go on Zoom. But it's going to come a time when we're going to have to get up out of our bed and come into a place where we got to no choice, come into worship. So I got up. It was called a 15-hour prayer. I went in there at 5 in the morning because my court date was at 9:30. And I began to go before the Lord, and I'm praying. I wasn't praying on my behalf, but God knows my mind was occupied, but I trusted him. And I remember that prophet, she walked by me. Man, I tell you what, that's why I get the month of Abib, A-B-I-B. I told you that's now the word's been transformed to Nisan. It was a month of freedom. And so she said to me, she said, this is your month of Abib. She said, the Lord said you would not forget this day ever again. He's going to bring you out. She didn't know what I was dealing with. That was my confirmation. Because of my obedience and sacrifice that I went to that 5-hour, that 15-hour prayer, the Lord says, this is why I believe would open the door for you. There's certain things that certain doors ain't going to open until you press your way in.
Yes.
Sitting there looking at it, it's going to keep looking at you.
Hallelujah.
And so I remember going up in there, got into that courtroom, man, when I heard freedom. But guess what? I didn't stop going to the city jail because my assignment wasn't over. It just begun.
Yes.
I had countless of souls to go up in there. And I tell you what, man, one day it was 110 degrees up in that city jail. Doggone birds flying through the window. Only one toilet. You have about 10 inmates in one cell block. I go up in there. One on their phone. Other one shooting dice. Other one playing cards. One guy was like, listen, don't come in here with no junk, man, because if you come in here with some junk, we're going to send you about your business. I said, don't you worry about it. I got it from here. I remember ministering, and I tell you what, once I begin to open my mouth, those phone calls stop, the dice stop, because begin something the Lord said to me that resonated with them. I must have said some names that they was affiliated with when they said, wait a minute, this man don't know. He started telling the other one, how are you telling, did somebody told him my business? Like some of y'all do right now. Y'all probably saying, you must have called pastor and told him my business. You had to call him. No. I walk with God. And so when the Lord speaks to me about something about you, you might want to listen.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Some of y'all, I can do that too. Well, then do it. Go into the streets. Some of you waiting to get behind here. Go into the streets and tell them what thus says the Lord. Naming names like Tanya, Keisha, Renee. You know, sound like DMX. They had to get off the phone. They had to stop shooting that dice. This nigga talking about me. I like the words that they use. I didn't problem with the language they use. They being who they are. But I'm being who I am too. They hung up their phone, stopped shooting the dice. Before I know it, every last one of them gathered. You know what they said to me? Man, you could come back here anytime. They are the most realest people you can ever meet. They're not phony by any means necessary. They were so appreciative. One day after that, the Lord said to me, now you go down this way. I'm telling you, I was lost. This city jail is huge. I'm going down there. I'm making turns. The Lord is speaking to me now in real time. He says, turn left, Turn right. Go down this path. I'm walking. I'm like, God, where am I going? He says, now go over there. I go in there. I tell you what, I ain't never seen as many men in the life. If the Million Man March, I'm telling you, it was so many men in that city jail, I couldn't even see all of them. I believe it had to be from here to where you see that column outside. That's how many men was out there. Go ahead, Brother Mike, look at it, because I want you to get a visual. And so now the Lord had me speaking. I don't know, I'm in there, and one guy was like, hey, man, you got something to say. Oh, yes, I do. I got up in there. I still don't know what I said. But, boy, I tell you, if those people could have came from their cots to come to the altar, they was giving their life all the way in the back. Yes, sir. So about what some of you getting ready to do right now. You getting ready to make a serious commitment to Jesus today. Because I believe the Lord is pricking some of your heart right now. Because I told you we're not having church. We're having an experience. I got some people online who's still kind of shaking and not sure and unsure whether they don't know because they think the pastor's always funny. He's out to get your money. I ain't out to get your money.
Come on.
I'm out to see you free. And whom the Son says free is free indeed. And so I'm about to do a serious altar call from Zoom to here. I meet committed folks who's going to die and live for Jesus. Who's willing to put away their sexual crimes. God Almighty. And their addictions. And become married to Him. And some of you want to get married? Won't you marry Jesus first? Let Him put the ring on the finger. It's time to execute. It's time to plan. We need to get that land cleaned up, and I'm going to need these men to help. The Lord heard my cry 2 weeks ago when we had our first meeting. I told First Lady, I said, I don't know what's up with my men. I said, you could at least think that they could call Pastor every now and then. Pastor, do you need anything? Is there any way we can help you? Is there any way we can assist you? See, the Lord, he don't take long for me. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? I am not going to go out my way to ask my man to do nothing. I'm going to do it by myself because these hands don't mind getting wet. And so I said, okay, I got an appointment to take this to the dealership. I got to meet this person. I got to take this. I get a call. Junior calls me first. Hey, man, what do you need? I said, Lord, you something else. You need some help? I got a little spare time. Yes, absolutely, I do. 30 minutes later, SG calls me. Hey, Pastor, what do you need? I said, okay, God, you being funny here.
Hallelujah.
I asked you for one thing, and then you go ahead and transform these men like that. So I said, you know what? I got to start praying for my men a little different here. God, raise up some men of God in this place.
Hallelujah.
That's going to lead the way, be an example for their households, and be the example for the church. So therefore, when the new men come in here, they got something they can look for other than me.
Hallelujah.
A lot of problem is men don't know how to be men because they don't have an example before them. Hey, listen, and truthfully be told, you know, my father, he wasn't around, but he wasn't around. I had to go out my way for him. Like I was his father. Now, he's going on to be with the Lord. I don't have no unforgiveness or resentment towards him because I never forget when he had what they call that blood clot in your head. Help me. Aneurysm. He had to go to a surgery. So, listen, I went out my way to New York City to go be with him, and they turned around. They didn't need to do the surgery, but I let him know I was there.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I know he's listening right now. It was my Uncle Sean who was like a parent to me. I never forget, and it was many times, and he's the youngest out of them all, but it was something about him. He used to take time out with me and sit at that kitchen table to help me with my academics. I was struggling, and I know I was struggling as a little boy when I was a young boy, but he knew I was struggling, but he was patient with me. This is a period of time he didn't have any children, so I was like the first example in his life. And so he would sit with me and try to teach me and show things, and I still couldn't get it. But he was patient. That's why he got that spirit in him now to this day. And so while he was raising something in me, God allowed me to flip the script so I could raise something in him. So he had to put you as a person to kind of be in my life at that time, because he knew what I shall become and he knew what you shall become. So there was an even exchange. You know, a poor businessman don't know an even exchange. If you taking advantage of me while we doing business, then you don't know what business means. Even though we didn't start it because of business, it was because he seen a little boy who needed to be raised. Showed them ropes. He's a teenager himself, but he took the time out to sit and train me. And became a nurturing spirit in my life. Thank God for him now. And so he don't know this, but I was so upset with him one time. I was a little boy. He brings these Christmas gifts. It was like three of them. He says, one's for you, Jackie Lamont. And at the time, it's just three of us. And I'm like, well, which one is what? I want the best one. Which one is the best one? Yeah, whichever one. So he says, hey, you can fill them all out. I'm filling all three out. So I don't know which one is the best one, but I'm shooting. You know how women do. Y'all like to fill the packages. Y'all think the real biggest packages is the best one. And so I'm filling them out, and I couldn't fill them out. So when Christmas time opened up, it's a stack of cards. Multiplication. I said, well, what is this? So what we were saying was, you need this. I'm giving you something that you're going to need, because you got to count one day, boy. And so he remembers. I'm sure he do. He got a sharp memory. But I want to tell you, thank God for you, because you played a huge role for me to become who I am today.
Hallelujah.
It so happenstance that he's a part of this movement. I get he's looking at it as, man, I got to be proud. I never saw this, but something was in him for him to be able to protect this. There's some people in your life have to see something great in you to protect it, even though they don't know what's in you. Some kids, you could kind of see the potential in them, that one day you're going to be somebody, but there's some kids you'd be like, oh, Lord, you're going to be a monster when you grow up. But see, it wasn't like I was a monster, but you could tell that I was lost. No direction. So that's why when I see kids, I have a good feel for them. I love them because I've worked with kids so many years. I can see certain things in children, and I can see certain things that the children need. I think I just have an anointing and a call for all kinds of sheep. It don't matter, because I've worked in every capacity you can imagine when it comes to people in the city jail, to the group homes, to the little daycare. I had them all. Ain't nothing you could tell me about human services. Nothing. I you would think that I have some psychology in me, because I can read people even like never before.
Yes.
Play something soft, man. We're going to give this altar call. Anybody who got convicted hearing that, I opened up my life, man. Just in almost an hour's time. I told you my struggle. I almost went to jail because of a child support case that I was not paying properly. Irresponsible. Not being a man as I should have been at that time. Even as a minister, God Almighty. See, this is the problem. You got a lot of people who's religious, they got titles, but they ain't fulfilling the mandate. They ain't walking in their calling. They don't know who they are. They don't have a man to represent them. Some of y'all need some real men in your life. Yeah, I know some of y'all want to shoot me down. I could be 5 years from you, but I got something in you similar to me that I know about you that you need to follow. Pastor, too hard. He always coming at me a certain way. No, it's because I see something in you. If you could just lay aside your pride, you'll be an awesome man of God. If you can learn to commit to some things, you'll be an awesome man of God.